hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Thank you so much. That was so good. As you could tell, it's a not just a Baptist thing, but here I'll give you a little theological thing here. I believe in what's called the priesthood of all believers, or other known as the universal priesthood. And what that means is that Jocelyn will share communion, Jack will share communion. You can baptize someone, maybe I can do something as well. That we all are called into this loaf, into this body, that, and there's not some upper echelon of sacred and spiritual, that we're all part of one body, amen? So thank you for sharing communion with us this morning. As we're going to continue on our series of The Amazing Race. The first week we looked at, what did we talk about? We talked about just running, just that you're on this race marked out for us. Last week we talked about that you're training, that you don't just go in it willy-nilly and just go, today I'm going to run a marathon. No, you have to train for the race that God has you on. And this week we're going to look at focus. George Lucas spent 4 years. Do you know this? George Lucas spent 4 years sending the script for Star Wars, that movie Star Wars. If you've never seen it, I'm sorry for your loss. He spent 4 years sending the script for Star Wars to various studios, racking up numerous rejections in the process. Universal Studios, United Artists, they both turned him down. And finally, an executive from 20th Century Fox, who had seen his other film, American Graffiti, had been impressed by that, decided to give him a chance. Give me a chance, coach. The film was made for $11 million and was released in 1977. Since then, the original Star Wars trilogy has grossed how much? What? Just ballpark. How many millions? Or better, how many billions do you think it has? It has grossed $2.4 billion. If George Lucas would have let all those rejections, all that kind of white static, all the distractions get in the way from his focus, we would never have been able to have Star Wars. Do you know Colonel Sanders, KFC? Not Korean fried chicken at Riverside Market, which I love. As you can tell, I just had it with my kids on Friday. I love the Korean fried chicken, so I should get a little bursary for that one. No, Colonel Sanders was literally told, not going to happen, from thousands of restaurants. For more than a year, as he lived in his car trying to sell his original chicken recipe. Fred Astaire, the iconic musician, and he's a singer. Fred Astaire kept a memo over his fireplace from MGM, the testing director of MGM, after his first screen test. And then it literally said, this quote is he put over his mantelpiece, he said, can't act, slightly bald, can dance a little. I love this. The writer for Little Women, Louisa May Alcott, she was, instead of being this acclaimed writer, her family actually encouraged her just to be a servant and a seamstress. Salvador Dali, the Spanish surrealist painter, was expelled from art school, yet still went on to become one of the most famous surrealist painters. So many people on the race of their life that had some kind of training, feeling that they had a focus or an aim. I can't imagine how many thousands of restaurants that Colonel Sanders went to and said, y'all come on, I got some great chicken. And they're all like, no, hard pass, no, hard pass, no, no. As he's living in his car. Remember the determination and the focus that Colonel Sanders had and said, I have amazing herbs and spices on my chicken. It's just a matter of just getting it into the fryer and getting it into your plate. And here he is today. I remember being in the Banff Springs Hotel. This is where like the queen stays or the royal family stays. It's a beautiful hotel. I remember downstairs, we were there for a pastor's conference. Downstairs, the entire other like floor was all KFC executives from all around the world coming together and talking about chicken. All from a guy that had laser focus, living in his car, wanting to peddle his chicken. Why is focus so important? Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay, good. Charles Swindoll says this: vision is the ability to see God's presence, to perceive God's power, and to focus on God's plan in spite of obstacles. We need to have that focus. Paul, let's look at our text. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're still in the same text as the last 2 weeks, so I'm just going to read the text again. Because why? Because we can. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race that all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and that's what we talked about last week. Here's what I want to camp out this morning. Ready? Just one verse. We're going to camp out on it this morning. Here it is. They do not get a crown that will last. They will get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it a slave so that I have preached to others and I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. Paul continues this narrative again, this running narrative, this athletic narrative to his church. Why? Because it connects. Just like how Jesus uses the parables, it connects to people. People get the idea of the running man, the athlete. But he challenges them now. He uses the word therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, always look at the verses beforehand. Because there's a therefore to it. Therefore you're running. Therefore you're training. Now you got to run. You got to run. In the NIV it says, do not run aimlessly. In the King James Version, if you're of that understanding, the fortitude of the King James, it says, with uncertainty. Do not run without uncertainty. If you're a New Living Translation, it says, don't run without purpose, without aim. Paul switches gears right after this Olympic, running narrative. He then breaks into a new sport. What is it? Boxing. Who loves our Filipinos in the room? You guys love boxing, right? Because you've got some of the best boxers. But he breaks into boxing. Boxing is as old as the Olympic Games. Hand-to-hand combat. And again, now Paul uses this simile, this describing of Lycoras. Paul doesn't advocate for us to be boxers. He's not saying, well, the Bible says I have to be a boxer. No, no, no. He's using the figurative speech. He's using language, another word picture. But with this word aimless, what does it mean? Well, in the ancient Greek word, it literally means adelos. And adelos means without focus. The English word focus is defined as the main or central point of something, especially attention or interest. So I wanted to show what this meant, so I got my little bag of tricks here. All right, so for a while I was doing some training last year, and I used boxing. So who can come up here? No, who have I had issues with this week? Nathan! No. Okay, so. Boxing gloves. See, Paul uses this narrative of boxing. Why? Well, first of all, it's as old as anything. Now, back then, they did not have these big things. They would just wrap their hands in linen and that was it. And they would just go to town. But what does this say right here? It says what? I do not what? Box what? Like at the air. So what is that called? It's called shadow boxing. So you see fighters, you just YouTube shadow boxing. You'll see guys that have their gloves on and they're just boxing the air. They've got a bit of a routine. I haven't done this for a while. So they'll kind of in the air and they're just doing left, right, doing combinations, and they're moving left and they're moving right. Everything is kind of a routine. I'm doing a choreographed dance, Sarah. There it is. See, like left and then right and then uppercut, right cross, right? And you get a bit of a workout. Oh shoot. Okay. This imaginative air boxing routine boxers rehearse. So what are the benefits of shadow boxing? Well, the shadow boxing is, it's solo. Did I get hurt? No. It's harmless. And guess what? I can control the outcome. When you shadow box, who wins the fight? I do. Every time. Saying ding, ding, ding. Another win. And because there's no one there, I don't have to adjust to anything. I can go through the routine that I have made for this routine. Sometimes what you do is I would have a big heavy bag and I would circle around the heavy bag with a routine. There's no reaction to any kind of fly, any shifting on the fly. There's no reaction to any moves happening to me because it's just me boxing the air. It's a substitution for the real thing. What are the drawbacks to shadow boxing? You go on any kind of website, any boxing website. Let's say it's great for to an extent, but it's not boxing. It's not realistic to a real fight with an actual boxer in front of you. No one is in front of you. There's no action happening. You're not getting hit. I met a guy one time from Texas. And I said to him after I was dealing with a very difficult person. And I think this is, I don't know, it's genderless. Because women are putting on gloves too. But you ever meet one of those people where they just need a good, as my grandmother would say, as Nana would say, a good thrashing. A good walloping. And I said to this man, I said, I think you just need to get punched in the face. Not by me. That's not the Christian thing to do. But it just kind of cleans the system out a bit. It humbles you to get technically knocked out. You just need that engagement. See, the other drawback is it's actually highly predictable as you are the maestro of the movement. It's a substitution. Why does the Apostle Paul use this analogy? Paul desires the Corinthian church better. He desires our South City church to make a real connection with real people. I met a guy, and I don't know if he got burned by the church. He probably did. You know how it is when you get burned by the church? Someone says something and you get offended and you're like, I'm offended. And then you don't tell anyone. You don't go to the person and say, I'm offended. Can we work this out? He just disappeared. And he sat in front of his computer online and did church. I said, as a man, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm doing church. So you're shadow boxing, right? That's you're just doing this. You're standing in front of your iMac. I exalt thee. You're the only one there. Great if you're a missionary in deepest, darkest China. But you got offended and this is your way out? Is you're going to do shadow boxing. You're not going to engage with real. This is a substitution. It may be good for a while. Maybe you need to do it for a bit of healing time. Great. But after 5 years, dude, you need to engage and get in the ring again. I don't know if he ever did. Because the first week, he totally controlled the narrative. I'll maestro this. No one's getting hurt. I'm totally fine. I'm enjoying this online experience. After a month, okay, how does that work for like a year? And I go up to him, like, who's your pastor? Well, Pastor so-and-so from Texas, or maybe this week it'll be Pastor from England or whatever. And I'm like, so who are you accountable with? Well, I have like this online chat forum. Oh my gosh, it's just shadow boxing over shadow boxing. So no one is actually physically in the ring with you. That's not life. It's a substitution for the real thing. Because what happens when you go online or do your shadow boxing with your spiritual life? You can definitely get complacent because you control the narrative. Your truth is your truth. You get to make ebbs and flows to what is truth and your moral compass. This becomes a convenient document, not the document that's going to technically knock you out. Shouldn't this knock you out? This should be the sucker punch that wins you and go, oh, it should knock all the air out of you. This should clean clock you in the face. Because that's really what we need, especially men. We're so stubborn. We need a good thrashing sometimes. But if we hide behind our screens and hide without anyone in the ring with us, we get lazy. We get complacent. The Apostle Paul wants us to get in the ring of life. You have to read the people in front of you. There's a story I want to tell real quick. Annetta. She told me this great story, and I asked her if I could say this. So Annetta got her car stolen, like, yesterday. So they found her car. She went to go pick it up. She got as far as the gas station, put some fuel in it, and they had cut the gas line, so there's fuel all over the place. So here's Annetta, in her senior strength, pushing the car off to the side, not knowing what to do. This guy comes up. He's a street guy. He's a street racer. From the outside looking in, you don't think that this guy is going to be the merciful Samaritan, right? Because there was vaping involved and whatever. So he comes up to her and says, I can help you out. So she's like, amen. So in Anna's mind, she's like, I got someone to witness to. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, so she's excited. So he runs underneath the car, and he's like, I can get... So he gets her into his vaping vehicle and just drives to the pick-apart while there's vape all over Annetta, which is... This is a great testimony. There's so many missional things going on in that story. You didn't go, excuse me, sir, I do not vape. Keep your vaping to yourself. No, she just allowed, and there's a moment where I think Annette is in the back going, God is bigger than this vape. Amen? God is bigger than this whole situation. It's just a fuel line. So the guy goes to the pick-apart, gets the exact same size and diameter of hose, takes her all the way back to the gas station, fixes her car. Fix her car. Whole time, and as she says, I'm just witnessing to him. I'm praying for him. And she says, oh, I want to give you something for your trouble. How much does it cost? And the guy just says to Nana, well, the hose, you know, and I drove about $50. She gives him $150. Most of you guys know, the part alone, if you went to a garage, would have been $100, right? That's how they do it. See, the ring. And then it could have just stayed and said, no, I'll just shadow box on the side of the road and I'll just do the Christian thing and I'll just wait for the tow truck. See, that would have been easy, right? But no, here's Annetta. She's getting into the ring. She's like, all right, Jesus. She's getting her gloves on. All right, we're going to get to work. We're going to see the kingdom grow right here. Because, yeah, Jesus, I could have just stayed on the sidelines and just prayed this one through. But she gets in, and Josh, can you come up for a bit here? Come. So, yeah, it's okay, just body shots. Just body shots. So here's Annette, and she gets into the ring, and she is now engaging. She's engaging, and guess what? You push back too. Oh, wow. You push, just hit my gloves. Oh. Hit my gloves. See, is that real? You feel that? You feel that? There's an actual tangible connection happening. Do you feel the pushback?
Yeah, I feel it.
Sorry, I'm not really hurting you, am I?
No, okay. No, it's good.
But isn't that, so when we're engaging, right, Josh? Like, we're doing this. We're getting in, we're in this zone. Get him, Josh. Yeah, that's it. That's Annetta. That whole time, that's Annetta. She's in the ring. There's vape all over the place, and he's got his music playing. And the whole time, she's like, Jesus, come on. There's got to be something happening here. And she says to me this morning, his name's James. And we're going to keep praying for James. And you know what she says to me? She's like, oh, I'm not done with him. Thanks, Josh.
Yep.
Put your hands together. But Annetta says to me, oh, I'm not done with him. I'm like, I love this. She's like, Josh is just, you know, he's in his car and he's probably chilling and whatever. But now we're praying for him. Here's the thing that I said to Annetta is that somewhere he probably went to Sunday school with his grandma or whatever back in the day. And the Holy Spirit came in and activated the old light switch down in the basement. You know the one I'm talking about, the one that's got tape all over it? The Holy Spirit just pushes it, click, and something comes up in James's mind going, do unto others as you want done unto yourself, the old golden rule. And all of a sudden, he comes out of the woodwork. I'll help you, lady. He's not the one that should be helping, right? Visually, the optics. Here's a good, he's a hoodlum guy, whatever. He's a street, he's the guy, right? He's the guy that drives by you like when he's low riding. You know, you don't want this guy underneath your car. But Nana's like, I'm believing Jesus right here. We're in the ring. We're pushing. There's contact happening. That's what we want. We want contact. We want connection to this physical plane that we're on. We can't just keep shadow boxing for the rest of our life. We can't do life like this. So she's in the back of his car, and there's vape all over the place, and he goes, and we've been to that pick apart. It's a huge, massive field. He's underneath another dirty, broken vehicle with tools because you have to take the part off yourself. And then he travels all the way back, and she says, oh, I'm not done with him, Pastor. That's a perfect story of a person that's saying, I'm going to get into the ring of life. Because when you're in the ring, you have to react to whatever's coming at you. Oh, so there's the razor right of vape. I don't know how many times Christians have shut down opportunities with evangelism just because something was said or done that doesn't fit with their alignment. You know, we go do street ministry one time, and we meet up with this guy, and he's smoking like a chimney, and he's using the F word like he's some kind of sailor or something like. And I remember some of Christians coming back after that going, I didn't really like that. I said, okay. He goes, yeah, I don't know if this is the right ministry for me because of the smoking and the swearing. He's like, yeah, you know, we should have said something. And what do you say? I said to the lady, I said, don't expect non-Christians to act like Christians. How about that? Put that on your bumper sticker. Don't expect non-Christians to act like Christians around you to make you feel comfortable. Yeah. Folks, you are a wretched soul just like he was a year ago, 5 years ago, last week. So stop judging. And I said, Annetta, that was a perfect example where some Christians would have said, no, thanks, I don't need your help because you're probably going to re-steal my car. Right? There's fear in that. There's a genuine fear. But there is an activation of the Spirit of God for her saying, I think this could be a ring. I'm going to step into this ring.
Here's the thing. When you step in the ring, you're going to get headshots. You're going to take some hits. What if he did re-steal your car? Or what if he took you to an abandoned lot and just mugged you? That's the risk that she was taking. But guess what? She knows where she's going. Her soul's prepared. Say, like God is, if God is bigger than this moment, great is your faithfulness. Amen?
I know, I don't know if you thought about that, anybody.
There's a moment where we take measured risk all the time. You have to react in real time. You have to pace yourself. Sometimes this situation with James could blow up. He might call her and say, hey, you know, I got a sick mom that has cancer. Can you come over and bring tea? This is another part of the race. And so this is when Annetta comes up to me and says, I need help because I don't want to do this race, this fight. I don't want to be in this alone. You're going to feel the hits. Like Josh, you're going to feel the pushback. There's no such thing as a perfect church. If you've been looking for a perfect church, please exit stage left. You're going to have people that you're going to be in church with, and you're just going to go, I like that guy, I like that guy, that guy, I don't understand. Or this person never talks to me. Don't get easily offended. Don't get easily offended. We're all, like, and I love your analogy, we're all one loaf. But in a loaf, you might have pumpkin seeds. You might have chia seeds. But I don't like chia seeds. They get in my teeth. But I'm still going to eat it, and I'm going to enjoy it because it's all part of one loaf. Paul wants us to focus in the ring. What is the thing that's in your ring? The thing is, love about the boxing narrative, there's only one thing in the ring. So what is that focus for you this Sunday, for this season? You're fighting along back and forth. What's so important for you this season? Is it your kids? Or for some of you, is it your grandkids? Is it your marriage? Is it your work? Or better, the career that you feel that is the mission field that God has placed you in? Your sphere of influence? Maybe some of you have lost focus. And you are just literally sitting on the sidelines going, I am paralyzed in fear and I don't ever want to enter that ring. Maybe you're like that friend of mine that is clicking online going, I don't want to engage with people. I've been burned so many times. This message that John's speaking is for others, but it was just by the grace of God that I even got here. And I want to recognize your struggle is real. And I thank you for making the effort to just get into the ring this one time. But God has not called us to shadow box, like Paul says. I'm not beating the air aimlessly. That's not what the Christian life is. The Christian life is to engage. Why? The promise is that God loves you. And that he has promised to continue the work in your life. 1 Timothy, Paul writes this letter, this pastoral letter to Timothy. It's like an older pastor mentoring a younger pastor. Here's what he says to Timothy in it's on the screen actually. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. He says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith and love and endurance and gentleness. And number 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life that you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you, Timothy, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in approachable light, whom no one has ever seen and can see, To him be honor and might forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.